This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Mark Haney. Later in the show, we'll hear about the local community known as the Floral Paradise of Ohio as it celebrates 200 years. First up, with the advent of affordable cars and improved roads, streetcars, once a prime form of public transit in Cincinnati and northern Kentucky, came to the end of the line. Northern Kentucky's streetcar system closed in 1950, Cincinnati's in 1951. Now, with Cincinnati getting ready to put streetcars back on its streets later this year, leaders in northern Kentucky are wondering if they should do the same, perhaps linking up with Cincinnati's system. And joining us to discuss the idea of resurrecting streetcars in northern Kentucky are the executive director of the Covington Business Council and Urban Partnership of Covington, Pat Frew, and editor and publisher of the River City News, Michael Monks. And you can be part of the discussion at 513-419-7100. You can email talk at wvxu.org, or you can find us on Facebook or Twitter. And Michael and Pat, thank you so much for being here today.
Thanks for having us. Thanks, Mark.
Pat, give me an overview of what's being considered here. What's the scope of this idea?
Well, we just thought it would be a great idea to talk about, you know, since the streetcar is going to happen in Cincinnati, and, you know, they already have potential plans for spurs and extensions in Cincinnati, you know, throughout Clifton and other areas like that at one particular time in the future. Northern Kentucky should also get consideration in that. We have a lot of growth in our urban core, which I'll be talking about a little bit more in the program, but it just makes sense. I mean, there are parts of Covington's downtown district, its urban center, that are as close to downtown Cincinnati as, say, parts of Over the Rhine. So those areas should get consideration as well.
Now, why do you think there's a need for a streetcar system in northern Kentucky?
Well, I don't think this is anybody here in particular saying there's a need. What we're looking to do is facilitate a conversation about whether there is a need. You see that it's they're laying the tracks in Cincinnati. This train's a rolling at this point. And the more extensions that are added to the system, as I understand it, the more economically impactful it becomes. So as northern Kentucky businesses look across the river and see the excitement and energy that continues to develop along the riverfront and throughout the neighborhoods in Cincinnati, I think it would be appropriate for business leaders and political leaders, government leaders, civic leaders, to at least consider the possibility that northern Kentucky would also benefit by laying down some tracks.
Pat, there's already been some political support for this, right?
Right. Covington Mayor Sherry Caron has voiced support for this. We've also heard similar comments from Newport's mayor. And to Michael's point, the purpose of the luncheon topic on this coming Thursday is not to say this should happen tomorrow. As we like to say at our Covington Business Council or CBC luncheons, we're not there to incite. We're there to inspire and inform people about possibilities. And, you know, these things never happen unless you begin to discuss them.
So what's your sense, though? What kind of reaction are you getting to this?
Well, as you know, there's nothing that brings the community together like talking about the Cincinnati streetcar. So we thought that would be an interesting catalyst for conversation in northern Kentucky. But, you know, to be clear, the panelists who are going to be speaking at the Covington Business Council luncheon on Thursday are all from Cincinnati. So it's Cincinnati City Councilman Chris Silbach, former Mayor Roxanne Qualls, and transit activist John Schneider. So these are Cincinnati voices that are basically coming over to Covington to talk to Newport and Covington business people about the economic impact that they anticipate and why they've all thought it was important that the streetcar be laid down.
And based upon the people that have signed up for the luncheon, Mark, we're getting a lot of what I might call unusual suspects, not the same people that normally come to our luncheons, from both sides of the river. So there is a high level of interest from people that we don't normally attract to the luncheon, which in running the Covington Business Council and looking for new members and people that are interested in the topic, those are people that we can talk to about, you know, joining our cause and helping us to advocate for a healthy business climate in Covington.
Now, any idea at this point? I mean, I know this is at the early stages, and we're talking about spurs possibly off of the Cincinnati system. But do we have any idea, Pat, at this point, what kind of a route we're talking about, what this would follow?
Michael? Well, I know Michael's talked to some folks with that, so I'll let him answer that.
You know, obviously, it's got to cross the river in order, so there would be a bridge involved, and you consider all the existing bridges. And obviously, there is no study. That's kind of what I think some people in northern Kentucky would like to see is a feasibility study of how the Cincinnati streetcar would make its way over to northern Kentucky, and whether it's best to come across to Covington, whether it's best to come across to Newport and then go across to Covington from Campbell County instead. But think about the bridges that are connecting downtown to Covington and Newport. You've got the Clay Wade Bailey and the Bryn Spence Bridge, which are going to be tied up in that larger project if that should ever happen. So that's probably either an option because they can then add that to the plan, or it's not an option because that's not going to happen. The suspension bridge is, you know, a historic landmark, so you probably can't pull it across that. You know, so there's the strong possibility that perhaps the Taylor Southgate Bridge in Newport would be a more appropriate starting point for the Cincinnati streetcar to come across from, you know, that area of downtown Cincinnati and then first access northern Kentucky through Newport. And then if it can extend beyond that into Covington, it would come across probably somewhere along the 4th Street Bridge across the Licking River.
Yeah, the idea of streetcars in northern Kentucky, I think they were talking about it, what, back in 2002 at one point?
Yes.
Why was it placed on hold back then?
Well, I think finances and money speak to that. But
I think northern Kentucky is a unique place because it is it always has dreamt big. You know, and it's strange to say that because you don't really have an identifiable Northern Kentucky government. But collectively as a region, Northern Kentucky has always thought about big things. It's just how those big things come about. Some of those details might get lost along the way because there was a time when I was a kid in the 90s. I remember talking about a monorail from downtown Covington out to the airport. I mean, that's crazy talk, you know, but this was something that was dreamt up at some point in northern Kentucky. You know, northern Kentucky really had its act together in the 90s. And I think even Cincinnati was somewhat envious of the developments that were taking place on the northern Kentucky riverfront, whether it be business towers like River Center in Covington or the Aquarium Landing and the Levee Landing in Newport. But in the years since, obviously that momentum has shifted back to the northern bank of the Ohio River. And as we were driving over today, I mean, you can't help but have to navigate around all of the construction that's taking place in Cincinnati and northern Kentucky, while certainly picking up the pace. And I think Pat wants to talk about some of the things that are happening in the urban core. I think northern Kentucky can learn from Cincinnati this time and maybe drop the rivalry and say, well, let's look at some of the things that have served as catalyst for revitalizing the riverfront, for revitalizing the urban core, for revitalizing over the Rhine in Cincinnati. And let's do something crazy and maybe adapt some of those on the South Bank.
Yeah, as you may know, I worked for the Convention Bureau in Northern Kentucky before I began running the CBC. And back in the early 2000s, as Michael said, Northern Kentucky was kind of the envy of Cincinnati. There was a lot of political infighting. Not a lot was getting done along the Cincinnati riverbanks. And, you know, really, honestly, much to the chagrin of Northern Kentucky, because we need Cincinnati to grow along the river. And now I think the opposite is true, where, you know, Cincinnati needs Northern Kentucky to begin picking up the slack. Michael talked about the river walk that's going to start taking shape along the Northern Kentucky riverfront. I know there have been a lot of discussions with the Parks Department in Cincinnati and Commissioner Willie Carden, and talking about the ways that they can grow the economy. There's actually been a topic, a word coined, parkonomics, you know, to look at the economics of how parks can attract people to the riverfront, bring people down there to spend money. We obviously, Michael talked about the possibility of the route coming into Newport by Newport on the Levee along the Taylor Southgate Bridge. I mean, really, when you look at the Levee, that is seeing its second level of renaissance right now with the Aloft Hotel there. The Travel Lodge is gone, thank goodness. The Hampton is going to be taking its place. And that is really the closest level of sustained retail activity close to the river. So I think it makes a lot of sense for that to possibly be an entry point. And then as you get into the communities, Newport has done wonderful things in the residential market there along Monmouth Street. And then you look at the Central Business District in Covington and all the great things happening there. Recently announced Duveneck Square, a commercial retail residential development along Washington Pike and 7th and 8th Streets, just up the block from Braxton Brewery and Hotel Covington, our $21.5 million boutique hotel that's scheduled to open this summer. UpTech, you know, the Northern Kentucky version of the Brandery, the Northern NKU Accelerator Program, getting ready to graduate its third or fourth class, I can't remember which. Bad Girl Ventures moving its headquarters into Covington next door. Gateway Community College just opened up a new bookstore, and you know the list goes on and on. Biologic and that Life Science Accelerator. You know, there's a lot of activity, new business, and an entrepreneurial spirit that Covington has not seen in decades. So it's an exciting landscape, you know, to put to center and align that route with On a Streetcar, if in fact that does happen. And near our lifetime here soon in the next 10 to 20 years. So
if I'm hearing you right, Pat, you think conditions are right for this?
Yeah, I think it's a great environment to put that in there. And I mean, the city of Covington itself has really gotten an increase in the number of folks that are interested in coming to Covington. I know that the city recently announced they have more than 20 active business prospects that they're working on. Last year, they had more than 40, of which they converted 8 to actual businesses. So I think one of the challenges for Covington right now, it needs to build that residential market down there and an affordable price point for mid to upper level professionals. And so we're working on that as well.
And you have to think about the era in which you noted, Mark, at the beginning of the show, that Northern Kentucky ended its streetcar system in 1950 and Cincinnati followed shortly thereafter. But think about what's similar now to what was happening then. And it's just simply that there are people there again. You know, 1950 really serves as a point in time where you can look at an era in which populations really started to decline in the cities. And the automobile played a big role in that. You could go somewhere else pretty easily, and people wanted to go where there were yards or different experiences to grow their families. And now the trend is to return to the urban core. So because you're having what we used to have, which is a lot of people in the city, we're calling for a lot of the amenities that perhaps we had right the first time. So that's what's interesting about this. I mean, streetcars served a purpose because if you lived in the city, you didn't need a vehicle or you couldn't have a vehicle because of the limited parking resources or where would you put this thing. So you hopped on a car, a streetcar, and it would take you from Covington to Latonia to Fort Mitchell to Newport, wherever you needed to go across the river to Cincinnati, you know. That's what we're seeing again, is that there's a return to the city, and now we need those city amenities again.
Well, you brought up parking. That's an interesting thought, Michael. Would having a streetcar system, how would that impact the parking resources
area? There are varying opinions on downtown parking in all the river cities in northern Kentucky. You know, there are people who say there's nowhere to park in downtown Covington. I disagree because I'm willing to park in a parking garage and then walk to where I need to go. I think when people say there's no parking in Newport or in downtown Covington, what they're really saying is there's no parking directly outside of the business that I tried to go to, and I had to walk 2 blocks to get there. Well, think about this. If you went to the Florence Mall, you're parking 200 feet away from the entry to the mall. Then you're inside the mall and you're walking to whatever store you went out there to see. You're probably walking farther, but you don't think about it that way for some reason. I don't think there's a parking problem. I think you can always improve upon the situation in terms of the parking meters or amount of available free parking to people, but there's certainly not a parking problem. The impact that a streetcar would have on parking would probably be more related to residents. If someone's looking to live in the city and realize that they don't need to own a vehicle, then perhaps they wouldn't. I mean, that's one of the benefits of living in a big city that has good mass transit, particularly rail. You don't need to have a vehicle. And I think people who live in New York City love the idea of not having a car to worry about. I would love the idea of being able to go to the Florence Mall, like I just said, but hopping on a train that I know was going to pick me up after and bring me back home.
We will continue our conversation about the possibility of streetcars in Northern Kentucky. And you can join us at 513-419-7100. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Mark Haney. Streetcars last ran in Northern Kentucky in 1950. Could they make a comeback as Cincinnati brings back its streetcars? My guests this afternoon are the Executive Director of the Covington Business Council and Urban Partnership of Covington, Pat Frew, and Editor and Publisher of the River City News, Michael Monks. You can join us at 513-419-7100, email talk at wvxu.org, or find us on Facebook or Twitter. Pat, tell us a little bit about the CBC first off.
Right. The mission of the CBC is to advocate for a healthy business climate in Covington. We've been in business since about the 1970s. We've grown quite a bit over the last 5 years. Our membership has increased more than 90%. We have about 250 members right now. Events like this monthly luncheon we've been talking about, we've been averaging about 100 people a month at those events. And we're really excited about some programs and activities we're going to be doing in the coming year to help revitalize the main Madison Avenue corridor in Covington with the opening of Hotel Covington. There'll be a lot of things coming out about new activities and events. We did things like a White Box grant where we helped to develop, with the help of the Duke Energy Foundation, to revitalize some space that had been uninhabited for a number of years. That's kind of what white boxing is about, putting in new electrical systems, you know, wall stabilization, things like that. So we hope to do more of those kinds of things to fill some of the empty storefronts we have. And, you know, along with great groups like River City News and the work that Michael's been doing, we've been helping to slowly change the perceptions of Covington and help it to build itself back up.
Michael, tell us about River City News.
River City News is an online, daily, digital destination for the goings-on and happenings in Northern Kentucky, particularly in its urban core. I started it as a blog in 2011. It'll be 5 years old in June of this year. It transitioned into a digital newspaper in 2012. I raised some capital shortly thereafter, and now there's 4 full-time employees and a pool of freelancers. We cover the city governments of Covington, Newport, Bellevue, Dayton, Ludlow, Taylor Mill, Fort Mitchell, Fort Wright, Erlanger, Florence, various other Northern Kentucky cities. We cover the county governments in Kenton and Boone, in Kenton and Campbell. We're working our way out to Boone. We do this unique thing of covering school boards, which people don't do much anymore, but we cover 8 different school boards on the regular. We cover new businesses, sports. Basically, we're a newspaper. We're a newspaper that Northern Kentucky needs because it doesn't have one.
But you're digital. You're all digital.
We've experimented with print and hope to experiment further with print. I believe in that very, very strongly. We're exploring how to make that a regular thing, maybe on a weekly level. But we've done 2 print editions that we've experimented with that medium.
513-419-7100 to join the conversation. And let's talk with Dave in Covington. Good afternoon, Dave.
Yes, I'm here. I'd like to give you just a little bit of a historical perspective. The old streetcars did used to run across the suspension bridge. I remember as a kid, my grandmother took me on one of the last streetcar runs that went up Main Street and up through Park Hills. And as long ago as that was, I still have that as a very fond memory. Another thing about, again, historical perspective, the streetcars had 2 overhead gantries instead of 1 that most contemporary streetcars have, because I'm not sure if it was the Cincinnati City Fathers or the Covington City Fathers. They didn't want the ground current going back through the suspension bridge, so they insisted that there be a return ground line with the overhead gantry. And one of the other things that was pretty much the demise of streetcars and really gave the advent for the bus line over here was the fact that you could not reroute a streetcar. And that has pretty much gone away, or the need for that, because a couple of years back we built flood walls over here. It used to be that Covington would flood, and up through at least 4th, 5th Street would be completely underwater, and the streetcars really had a problem with that. They, in fact, the Green Line used to put buses on and run them up through DeVue Park to get around the floodwater. And let me just finish up with a question. Would streetcars be more economical to run? And I think what I'm getting to, would there be a more aggressive schedule than we currently have with the bus lines?
Dave, thank you. Yeah, good question.
Very cool stuff, Dave. Thank you for sharing that. Again, we don't have a streetcar in Northern Kentucky yet. So basically what we're hoping to ignite is both a conversation and then possibly embarking upon the path that could lead to a feasibility study. And I think that such a study would include that type of information in terms of frequencies of runs and whether it's 15 minutes or 30 minutes. You know, we have the South Bank shuttle, which runs every 15 minutes across the River Cities and into Cincinnati. And that's a very useful mode of transportation, but would the streetcar be more economically viable? Those are exactly the types of questions that we'd like to see if we're able to pursue a feasibility study.
Yeah, Michael, it took Cincinnati, what, a couple decades of discussion, I think, before they got their streetcar system going again. I mean, do you expect the same thing for Northern Kentucky? Is it going to take decades of, discussion before this?
Well, we're not exactly known for our speed, but that's something that I hope that can change because, again, this is a new Northern Kentucky. This is a Northern Kentucky. You know, Dave referenced what Northern Kentucky was like back then, vibrant transportation options, places to go. Well, we're getting that again, but there's a whole generation of people that didn't know the urban core in Northern Kentucky that way. And I grew up here and never knew shopping in downtown Covington. I never sat at the Woolworths counter. I didn't shop at Parisian on Pike Street. You know, none of these references matter to me. What matters to me now and my peers is what Covington looks like now and what Newport looks like now and what Bellevue is becoming now. And that's because there is a new vibrance and there is a new definition of what it means to live in the Northern Kentucky River cities. And it's quite possible that, a streetcar would make perfect sense. And it's possible because of that, that this new momentum will speed up that process. And plus, like we said,
you've learned from Cincinnati.
We've got a lot to learn from Cincinnati, and Cincinnati already has the system. I mean, we're talking about possibly connecting to an existing system at this point. We're not looking to launch the Northern Kentucky streetcar and never connect it to – that be such a Cincinnati, Northern Kentucky thing to do, to have two separate ones? You know, we wouldn't do that. Not anymore. So we're looking at just tapping into what's already in existence.
John in Villa Hills joins us now. Hi, John.
Hi, how are you doing?
Good, thanks.
Thanks for taking my call. I just had a question. Maybe it's a repeat. I just don't understand why laid rails have any advantage over what the South Bank Shuttle, which is a great system, and also the tank system, which is very flexible and can also go across town to centers of employment. I just don't understand. And we'll wait and see how the Cincinnati system works. It's, I mean, you're talking as though Cincinnati has a successful system. We don't know that yet. And it's interesting to see what Kansas City is going to happen. You know, they just built one and how they paid for it. So I just have – I don't understand what possible advantage laid rails have. So I'm just going to hang up, all right?
Okay. Thank you, John.
Yeah,
we appreciate it.
It's a valid question.
It is a good question.
One of the things that Michael and I were talking about right before we went on was you know, we've talked to people that are very interested in this in Northern Kentucky. They're also very interested in the issue of light rail, which has kind of been – set aside now with the streetcar system coming on. One of the things, and Michael knows a little more about this, but the way that the tracks are configured now, they're also something that can be used with light rail. So I know a lot of cities have done this fairly recently, cities like Minneapolis, where if you've ever, like I have, ridden the light rail from the airport to downtown, you know, imagine what that could do for our airport. The folks that are running the airport now are doing a great job turning it around, making it more affordable. They could make it even more attractive if we had light rail running from the airport to downtown, if we can find a way to pay for it. You know, one of the other issues that we haven't talked about was, and I'm certainly not an expert in public transit, but one thing, you know, very early on in looking at public transit, if you're looking for something that's going to pay for itself, in essence, that's a bonus. Public transit is almost a money-losing proposition from day one. So, you know, the idea is that all these things in other areas, light rail has been used to help attract development along the route, to attract more people to want to live where they can get on this mode of transportation to get to where they need to be, where they need to work or shop or whatever.
And John's right that the South Bank Shuttle is really great, and there's a bus system. You know, the people at Tank are great. The people at Metro are great. You can get to places. But think about where the next streetcar route's going to go. It's supposed to connect to Uptown, right? So around UC in the Clifton area, as I understand it. So you'll have it around the banks to OTR, then to Clifton. Now expand that route to If it's to come to Northern Kentucky, let's say it goes to Newport first around the levee, and then eventually it's able to connect to Mainstrassa Village in Covington. So picture this. You can have lunch in Mainstrassa Village, hop on this train, go to Newport on the levee and catch a movie, hop on the train and end up at the banks for a drink and then have dinner in Clifton. Or you could leave Mainstrasse Village and go directly to Clifton much faster than you could, probably even in your vehicle, and definitely more so than any bus can provide. And that's where the economic development opportunities start to present themselves.
There's an advantage to that fixed route, isn't there?
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Think about connecting Mainstrasse Village and Newport-on-the-Levee to the University of Cincinnati in such a rapid way. That offers a lot of opportunity.
Let's talk to Andrew in Newport. Hi, Andrew.
Oh, can you hear me?
You sure can. Go right ahead.
Okay. So Michael kind of just said what I was leading into. I live in Newport. We've started our family in Newport, and the idea of being able to take a streetcar from Newport to, say, the Cincinnati Zoo, that just is really, really, I think, a great thing, and what really the river cities in Northern Kentucky are missing. And to the point of that caller that just called in, you know, if I were to do that on a bus, especially with two young kids, I'm going to have to transfer two or three buses probably from Newport to the zoo. Whereas with a streetcar, I load up on a streetcar in Newport and, you know, I'm probably on one car all the way to the zoo if the uptown route gets built. And I did have a quick question about a Newport route and the Route 9 construction that's going on. And I just wonder, is that project that's going to be happening here soon around where the Travel Lodge was and the 4th Street Bridge, is it too far along that sort of consideration could be taken in for how a streetcar might come through there so that as that area is rebuilt, that it could sort of be rebuilt with a streetcar in mind?
That's a great question.
Thank you, Andrew.
Thanks, Andrew. I think the Route 9 project, which is a state project, which a lot of people know goes along the Licking River from Newport out to Wilder toward NKU. It's now coming up through the river in Newport. It's a great project and offer up a lot of economic development opportunities in Newport. And, you know, at this point to show up and say, well, now we want to lay down some streetcar rails. I don't think it's out of the realm of possibility down the road, but currently it probably is. But there is also a large swath of land there that we all have to think about. There was a proposed development called Ovation. It's owned by Corporex, which developed much of Covington's riverfront and has just been a great community partner in a lot of ways. And they envisioned something happening there that has not happened. So there is that large swath of land that could be an opportunity for something along the lines of a turnabout. You know, even if you just wanted to connect the streetcar in some capacity to bring people closer to the levee, let's just say the streetcar connects, it comes across the Taylor Southgate Bridge and it goes to Ovation and it turns around at Ovation and then goes back to Cincinnati. And that's all we get at this point. At least we're connected. People can come again from Clifton or downtown to Newport and then either red bike to Covington or take the South Bank shuttle over to Covington and use some of these supplemental transit opportunities in the meantime. But I think that swath of land is very valuable in this conversation. Route 9, as it continues, and Route 8 improvements over across the river cities would also lend themselves to conversations about where we'll put rail. Now, the 4th Street Bridge, incidentally, between Newport and Covington is in the 5-year transportation plan to be replaced. Now, it's not too late to have the conversation about, well, we want this bridge to accommodate a train.
And again, it's Thursday, Pat,
yes,
for the event that you're having on this?
Correct.
Okay. And you can get information now on that at cbcky.com.
Yes.
There's a link to that at wvxu.org as well. And Pat and Michael, thank you for joining me today.
Thanks, Mark.
Thanks, Mark.
The Executive Director of the Covington Business Council and Urban Partnership of Covington, Pat Frew, and the Editor and Publisher of the River City News, Michael Monks. Coming up, we'll hear about Delhi Township, as the community known as the Floral Paradise of Ohio celebrates its 200 years. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU.